This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Richard Abulafia, who is an analyst for the Teal Group, and we've been talking to Richard a lot lately, but this one is absolutely right up Richard's alley. Richard, what's going on with the Boeing 787? Are we at the beginning of a long haul, or are we almost at the end of this?
I think we're right in the middle of it. I think that's probably the best way to look at it. This is not going to be the quick fix that Boeing had hoped for. On the other hand, I don't think this is evidence of a catastrophically flawed design, a sort of comet reborn that other people have posited too. There's a lot of hard work ahead, and I think Boeing continues to sort of act as if nothing's wrong and just should keep producing planes at 5 per month despite the likelihood of retrofits, then that might be a problem. But on the other hand, we are talking about discrete issues here rather than fundamental design flaws that speak to the entire concept of the plane.
Yeah, this is something that you buy and put on the plane. It's not built into the plane. Why can't they just go find another battery manufacturer?
Well, I think there's a couple of possibilities. One is the battery batch itself, which would be kind of a deus ex machina. You know, God is in the machine. Wow, okay, turns out it was just a bad batch of batteries, in which case they may or may not want to find a new manufacturer. And the other, of course, is this lithium-ion question. Now, obviously, they needed something with a very high level of output, high level of rechargeability, et cetera, et cetera. And despite some FAA misgivings about the virtues of lithium ion in the air, they, you know, were given an exemption. I don't think there's a whole lot of risk that they'll be told that lithium ion doesn't work and that therefore their entire more electric architecture is therefore invalid. I don't think there's much of a risk here. But on the other hand, there is the possibility that it is more than just a bad batch. Now, the good news is yesterday it turned out that it wasn't a case of too much voltage or overcharging or anything like that. That's some of the preliminary findings, which gets us back to maybe a slightly increased likelihood that we are just looking at a bad batch of lithium-ion batteries from UASA. You know, as you mentioned, this is something you buy, you put on a plane. It's sort of bizarre. There are people saying, well, this is the result of outsourcing. You know, I mean, an electrical system, a battery, is there a maker of any kind of complex industrial object in the entire world that would make their own batteries other than, you know, General Motors circa 1948? And this is not a question of, gee, we gave the entire wing and body out to other people. This is routine components that are always purchased by everybody who makes any kind of large, heavy piece of machinery.
All right, so how's it playing out with the public, with the industry, with the FAA, and with Boeing? How's everybody doing?
Well, so far, the FAA seems to be bending over backwards, by some accounts too much, but there's an accusation that perhaps they were too pro-industry under President Bush. Now, perhaps they're trying to stake out new turf and say, hey, we're going to, you know, make absolutely certain we're pro-consumer above all or pro-safety above all. So that might be driving some of this, or it could be that they really do see a problem here that they wish to rectify. We don't know. Among the traveling public, you know, it's a funny dynamic over the years. There's up there with the Bond vigilante, there's the mythical creature of the traveling public member that's actually concerned about what they're flying on. I think we all know in the aviation business that when people buy a ticket, they look at price, 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 followed by schedule. And there's no evidence of aircraft aversion. Yeah, I mean, you can go back to the days of the not very good DC-10, and there's no evidence that people avoided it after several horrible crashes. Now, having said that, there's also the very perishable effect of buzz, of marketing, and sort of like the A380. You know, everyone wants to fly an A380. Oh, wait. And then that sort of goes away because of some incident, in that case, a mid-air explosion. And here with the 787, that perishability factor is kicking in a bit faster than the marketing folks would like, I'm certain. But, you know, the bad news is there's not going to be much of a, you know, oh, let's fly it factor, a wow factor. Good news is there's no evidence of any kind of aversion historically.
What I've noticed is it initially reaction was actually quite supportive of Boeing, but that's starting to fall apart a little bit. And the question I have for you is the 787 too big to fail? If they do find a fundamental issue with the design of the aircraft, is it too big to fail?
Well, I mean, it certainly has that sound in common with the F-35. It certainly is one of those once a decade, if not bet the company, then certainly bet a great deal of the company's money and a great deal of America's industrial prestige and the industry's industrial prestige. But how does it actually play out? If it really were flawed in some meaningful way, things have a way of showing up in this industry in fatal ways. I mean, I'm still of the school that says, gee, there were a lot of things about the DC-10 that were deeply wretched. And of course, that led to the last time something was yanked. I don't think this is that. But if it really were just, classically flawed, it wouldn't be too big to fail. It would fail. Although you could make an argument, though, that it would show up in statistics, safety statistics, so fast that it wouldn't even have the chance to get to that point. So, in other words, this is something that either succeeds in the next 6 to 12 months by having much better reliability rates and obviously getting back in the air first, or it doesn't. It's not too big to fail.
Any sense for when we'll see them flying again?
Hopefully, the next few weeks. There's some really unfortunate things going on. They can't even fly test aircraft right now, and you've got the case of the Lock plane stuck in Warsaw, can't even get back to Seattle for any fits and tests and whatever else. So hopefully, the next couple of weeks, at the very latest. But it does look like the FAA is not at all open to quick fixes that would get things going again.
Well, we'll be watching it, you'll be watching it, and maybe we'll chat again. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.